Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 10:08 a.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is June 5th. I'm recording a little early because I'll be heading back to Los Angeles in the afternoon, and I probably won't be back until sometime in the later evening. I think the most important thing that's happened in here today was the ADP new hires report. It's gone down from 275,000 jobs to 27,000, so that's a 90% decline over the course of a month. That's going to have people become increasingly alert to recession risk, not least the Federal Reserve. People stop hiring before they start firing, so that's obviously something that is going to factor into the Federal Reserve's calculation as to whether they should be cutting interest rates or not. But perhaps the most important way of thinking about the statements that Jay Powell made yesterday is not so much about the likelihood of an interest rate cut, but it's basically taking the potential for an interest rate hike completely off the table. And that is now being assessed by markets. So, for example, when we look at the US Treasury market, it had got up to 127.5, and it is currently around the 126 area. Now, this is quite normal to see some consolidation. This is still a very consistent trend, and nothing has changed to question that this is still a consistent trend. What we can anticipate is we are due some consolidation, and as long as that consolidation is limited to 2.5 points, then we're still in a consistent trend. There is a short-term overbought condition, so there is some risk of consolidation. Well, by the same token, what we are also seeing is that the short-term oversold condition on the stock market is being unwound, and the S&P 500 has been up now for 2 consecutive days. It is bouncing from the region of the trend mean. And that was one of the reasons why I was interested in where we would start to see some evidence of support being found. Considering just how much the market had rallied and the overbought condition that had been reached by the time we got up to the all-time peak, well, we were due consolidation, and we've got the consolidation. Now we're in the region of the trend mean and see evidence of some support being found. So what that also means is that it's quite likely we're now in at the bottom of the consolidation phase. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to go straight up and through 3,000 in the next week or two, but it does support the thesis that this is a consolidation rather than an ultimate peak. One thing that I think people are beginning to consider is the yield curve spread. What I find particularly interesting is that people have been tending to jump around. I'm at a conference at the moment where there are a number of investment professionals making statements, and often in an effort to try and sell their products. But there was one point that I thought was particularly interesting. There's a series of charts that I'm going to try and reproduce over coming days. But what the point was is that in order for the yield curve spread to be truly predictive, it needs to be used in conjunction with the high yield spread, the municipal spread, and then the treasury spread. Well, the treasury spread has not become inverted. What I find interesting is that we're at potentially a rather similar condition to where we were in 1998. Now, of course, that is contingent on the Federal Reserve starting to ease now. That's how they could potentially avoid a recession. If they wait until next year to cut, I think then that is going to bake a recession into the data. So that's the question. We're either now at the point where, following some consolidation, we are going to move into the bubble phase. The US presidential cycle supports that view. We are in the third year of the US presidential cycle. It is usually from the second half of the year that things start to pick up, with the fourth year being the best performer. And if what we're seeing now is a consolidation, then we should see this market break on the upside in the latter half of this year and then run on the upside. Now, that would create potential bubble risk in some of the more highly valued markets. At the stage when the Federal Reserve then feels pressured to start raising rates again, that would likely then be a catalyst for the potential for additional tightening to create an inverted yield curve. The other way of thinking about this, obviously, that is by far the most bullish set of potential outcomes. Well, we should also think about what the bearish potential outcomes are. It would be that historically, it is not so much when the yield curve becomes inverted, but when it starts to expand again. That has generally been when markets have really started to run into trouble, because the Federal Reserve would not cut interest rates unless they were truly fearful of an economic contraction. That was certainly the case in 2007, and it was also the case in 2000. So now that we are starting to see the yield curve spread pushing up, it has gone from 20 basis points to almost 30 basis points this week. So that's a significant move on the upside, and it suggests that there is certainly a pricing in of the potential for a cut to interest rates. Now, when we look at what's going on in the oil price, we've had a meaningful move again in here today, and the Brent crude price is down 147. This is continuing to renew on the downside, but WTI, now when I last looked at it, was down over $2, and this is also something that looks to be a really weak looking chart, having trended really quite consistently higher all the way up from the lows at the end of last year. We've had a much bigger pullback. The region of the trend mean has failed to offer support. It is pulling back violently. It's quite likely we're going to see a retest of the $40 area. And one thing that I've also noticed from presenters at this conference is when they want to talk about clean tech, there is no mention of wind or solar or geothermal any longer. They just the venture world has moved on. They are now looking more at energy efficiency plays, at water plays, rather than thinking about how to generate energy, because there just isn't the kind of margin in it against a background where they're being valued based on the oil price and the volatility we have now in the oil price and the potential for oil prices to range between $40 and $80 for the foreseeable future is likely to put a lid on a lot of speculation in the clean energy sector. Well, then when we think about what is going on in terms of currency markets, well, the euro is at a point where it is potentially at an area of resistance, considering that it has got right up to test the 113 level, and it wasn't quite able to hold it in here today. This is the region where it's going to have to demonstrate a return to demand dominance. Well, I think part of the reason why the euro has not been able to sustain its firmer tone has been because of Italy. Europe does look likely to persist in trying to impose a fine on Italy. Now, the yield in Italy has been contracting, and that is suggestive of buying. But this issue with Italy is something that is going to be rumbling along for a while. It's sapping confidence. When we think about the banking sector, it has bounced rather impressively. What that does suggest is that there is scope for a reversion back towards the mean, at the least, that there's certainly an oversold condition in here. What we can also think about is Europe is in the throes of this big debate about the persistence or the need for this fiscal austerity, with an increasing number of countries posing recession risks. That's going to become a much more detailed topic of conversation. So this is, I think, an interesting area to pay attention to. I do think that this is a potential area of support for the banking sector because we're right at the lower side of the range. Then when we think about the Euro Stoxx index, well, what we can definitely look at is the weekly chart and the fact that it has bounced from the region of the trend mean, and I'm rather keen to highlight that it is the region of the trend mean is the most important aspect. Markets tend to overshoot, and we've had a little overshoot, but now we are starting to see some support coming through. As long as that remains the case, then the potential is that Europe is going to continue to muddle along, and if the euro is capable of breaking its downtrend, then that will start to attract flows, and not least on a valuations basis. When we think about Australia, well, it has a history of not being able to sustain upward breaks, so having pushed on to a new high in the last 3 weeks, we are due some consolidation. The Australian dollar has also started to steady up somewhat, but it has got some work to do in order to really break the downtrend, and the 70 cent level is a meaningful area of resistance. It's the lower side of the overhead trading range, and now we're starting to see the first evidence of resistance coming in. On a weekly basis, there is a clear sequence of lower rally highs. There might be an oversold condition relative to the trend mean, but it's at least going to have to sustain a move above the 70 cent level in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. The prospect of interest rate cuts is a rather bullish phenomenon for gold, but with the reversal that we had today in the dollar's fortunes, then that has sapped some of the interest in gold, and not least because it's right in the region of the peak from February. But this has been a meaningful bounce back in terms of the gold price. Now, having bounced so impressively from the trend mean and coming right back up to test the upper side of this evolving 6 year base formation, we could see some additional ranging. But it would have to sustain a move now below the $1,280 area in order to question that this isn't a support building phase prior to a break on the upside. The outlook for the trade war is still not especially bullish, and the A-share market is really very steady here. That is a manufactured move, in my opinion. What we're also seeing is that they are at pains to ensure that the renminbi does not depreciate imminently, and the currency has been completely inert over the course of the last few weeks. That is obviously subject to political change and the outlook for the trade war. I rather think that this is either going to be an election issue, which I think everyone had been anticipating, but there is the potential that the trade war is the aim in itself, that there is an effort underway to try and crash the Chinese economy. That is a potential outcome that we need to at least give some consideration to, that the ultimate aim of the trade war is to contain the international ambitions of the Chinese administration. Now, if that's the case, then we can't anticipate that the trade war is going to end anytime soon. So there is certainly the potential here for some additional strength coming through in the stock market. When we look at, for example, the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index, well, it's often a lead indicator for the health of the global economy. It has been bouncing over the last couple of days, and it's off its lows in here today. It's also got a short-term oversold condition, and it needs to push back above the trend mean, and I think more correctly back above the 1400 point level in order to demonstrate more than short-term steadying here. Then when we think about the Russell 2000, it had broken downwards last week, then it has popped back up into its overhead range over the course of the last few days, but it needs to follow through on the upside. It needs to improve upon its performance in order to break that sequence of lower rally highs over the last week. And that would be, I think, one of the factors that would start to reinvigorate bullish demand. We've also had a pretty impressive rebound in the banking sector. So it's not just European banks, but US banks popped on the upside yesterday and are off their lows in here today. Potentially, we're going to get some additional follow through on the upside. That is confirming at least near-term support in the region of the lower side of this evolving range. And it is holding out the prospect that we're going to see at least a bounce, a further bounce in here. I really do think that it is the speed with which the Federal Reserve cuts interest rates is going to be the defining characteristic in whether we are in an evolving top formation or whether this is a medium-term correction which is going to fall into the US presidential cycle format. That is, I think, the most important factor, because monetary policy beats most other factors most of the time. And we need to see something that is going to start to reverse the downtrend in the total assets of central banks. It had moved to a new low in the latter half of May. It has bounced over the course of the last few days, not least because the dollar has been somewhat weaker. But if this were to start trending higher once more, then that would start to lend the kind of impetus to stock markets to sustain an upward break. It might be too much to hope for in the short term, but it is something that I will continue to pay attention to in order to give us at least some clue as to which way we can anticipate markets moving. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.